Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning, and that means it's time for the Monday morning movie reviews. And my dad, because it's Monday, will call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And it's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn, and lots of other stuff coming up on the show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Every Monday morning, Eric Childress and Colin Suter join me to review all the new movies. And that's it's a pretty slow week, a very, very slow week. So we thought instead of doing, we'll tell you about, you know, some of the movies that came out this weekend or some of the stuff that we ended up seeing over the weekend. And then we thought we would just do a fall movie preview. So we're coming up on the big fall movie preview, and we're going to preview movies that are coming out through the fall all the way until the end of the year. And this is, you know, when normally when the big heavy hitter movies start coming out, your fall and into your holiday period, that's when all of the Oscar hopefuls and all the big serious dramas and all that stuff comes out. So we thought we would pick some titles, talk about them, and preview some fall movies since we don't really have much to talk about. So let's welcome Eric Childress to the show. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
And Colin Suter. Hello, Colin.
Hello there.
All right. As far as the movies that opened up this week, we had Leap, which was the animated dance movie. And we had Birth of the Dragon, which was the Bruce Lee movie, which was just about one incident in Bruce Lee's life, not like the Rob Cohen movie, which was actually about his life.
Right.
Which is a terrific movie, by the way. If people have not seen Dragon, it's a really good film. And so those are basically it. Terminator 2 was re-released in 3D. Colin, you did get a chance to see that, and we all know that's a terrific movie.
What's it about, Colin?
No, it still is a terrific movie. It is the original theatrical cut, so it's not one of the other director cuts that, you know, came out subsequently. And it's just basically, I mean, you know, there's not much to it. It's Terminator 2 in 3D. It's been converted. After about 5 or 10 minutes, I kind of forgot it was in 3D, and I just kind of enjoyed the movie on its own. The 3D aspect of it doesn't really add a whole lot, except, you know, it's just that James Cameron likes 3D on anything. I think if he had originally made Terminator 2 in 3D, he would have directed it much differently. But, you know, hey, it's still cool to revisit this movie and see it on the big screen again. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how far we've come since then for special effects and to see how well these special effects hold up. Now, he did make a few tweaks to it visually, but nothing terribly significant. He just fixed a few special effects shots that he had a problem with. I don't think anybody would notice anything terribly significant in them unless they were really paying attention. It's one of the best movies out there right now because it's Terminator 2. Go see it and enjoy, I guess.
Yeah. Come on, you know, it's T2 rules. It's great. Does it look okay in 3D? I mean,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's good. But like I said, after a while, you just kind of forget that it's in 3D. There's nothing really that jumps out at you like, oh, wow, now I see why they did it in 3D. You know, after the first few shots of, you know, the ravaged, you know, world, you know, everything up in smoke and, you know, seeing how those shots look, it's pretty great. But then, you know, once you kind of settle into the movie and you just kind of settle into the movie and forget about the 3D.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, T2 is out there. It's in 3D if you would like to see it. It's easily the best movie that's out right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the best movies that's out right now. I caught up though, Colin, you reviewed it last week. I caught up with Good Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I really, really loved it. And my parents couldn't make sense out of it. My dad particularly was completely confused by one thing that happens. I don't want to give anything away, but there's something that happens, you know, in the movie. My dad didn't quite didn't quite understand. Because at one point, in the, for those of you who don't know, this is the movie with Robert Pattinson, who, by the way, is fantastic in the movie. It's a great performance. It's so good it'll make you forget about the vampire movies. But it's about these two brothers, one who is mentally challenged. That's played by Benny Safdie, who also is the co-director of the movie. And they rob a bank, and then they try to get out of town, and one of them ends up in the hospital, and another one tries to break his brother out of the hospital, and then it just gets really, really complicated from there. It's hard to talk about, Colin, without giving anything away.
Mm-hmm. I almost felt like I gave away too much last time I was on, but
it was, well, I mean, no, I don't think you did, because there was stuff that happened that I had no idea. You know,
yeah.
But there's a moment in this movie. There's the stretch in this movie where it just what continually just happens to these characters or to the main character. You just can't, it's mind boggling. At one point, I was just laughing because it was just so, you know, kind of overwhelming. You know, and I just was like giggling because it was like what is going on? And there's a shift in there's a shift in focus about three quarters of the way through the movie where another character kind of takes over the narrative.
Yep.
I lost it during that sequence, man. I just thought it was phenomenal. And anyway, it's hard to talk about, but Pattinson's really great in it. It's really well made. It's a strange movie. It is a very, very strange movie. In terms of like style, it's a little bit, there's lots of handheld stuff, lots of close-ups. It's a visual style that, you know, it takes a little bit to get used to, because it's a little bit in your face. Not a little, it is a lot. And it's kind of a really awesome wall-to-wall score. And again, a central performance by Robert Pattinson that is just really, really great. And this Benny Safdie is also terrific in it. He and his brother directed the movie, and they did a really nice job. And you said, Colin, that there was another movie that these guys made?
Yeah, they made a movie. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me. It played our festival Heaven Knows What.
Mm-hmm.
And I still haven't seen it yet, but it's been on my to-do list for a while. From what I understand, it is just one of the most unbelievably depressing films you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But good, but very, very good. So done in a kind of a quasi documentary style, kind of like this.
Yeah.
Starring non actors, playing heroin addicts. So it's not a pleasant stroll through the park, as I understand, but, one of them, I think I might get to pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if this movie is any indication, you know, of the talent of these two filmmakers, I think they've, you know, I would love to see that movie, because I thought this was great. I thought it was just great.
And another movie called Daddy Long Legs that came out in 2009, which I don't know that much about.
Okay. But. All right. I saw this movie. I saw A Good Time in Skokie at the Village Crossing, which inspired two walkouts, and there were only about seven of us in the theater.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, but I highly recommend it. I just think it's great. And I can't say enough about Pattinson. I mean, he's in virtually every shot of the movie. And he's great. He's really, really great. Eric, you got to catch up on this one.
Everyone says it's a thing. So yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I'd be curious to see what you think of it. It's a very unusual movie. And I can see people being put off by it. I really can. Like my folks, for instance.
What did they do after they walked out?
They were just like, my dad was, I can't get into the discussion we had because it would give a major okay. plot point away, but my dad was completely confused by what happened. So all the trailers that they showed, because it was it's an A24 film, you know.
Yeah.
So all the trailers that they showed for it for weird movies, including the one that I want to talk about when we get to the fall movie previews, the latest from the director of The Lobster. Have you seen the trailer for?
No.
The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Nope. I'm avoiding all trailers leading up to the Toronto Festival.
Uh-huh.
In a couple weeks.
Right.
So
okay.
I want to know nothing.
All right. Well, it looks weird. That's all I'm going to say. It looks real weird. All right, so guys, hang on, all right? We're going to take a break. When we come back after the news, we will jump into a fall movie preview. We'll talk a little bit about the box office as well. It was a pretty disastrous weekend at the box office, and we'll talk all about that as well. But we're going to take a break here for the news, and then after the news, we'll come back for a full fall movie preview for 2017 right here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It is a Monday morning, so that means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke, and that is brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And we're also going to be talking about classic restaurants that changed the face of business and changed the world. Some legendary restaurants, and we'll do some food talk as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And the Monday morning movie reviews, well, nothing really came out this week, so we've decided that Eric and Colin and myself, we are going to give you a fall movie preview. And so let's do that. Let's get back into it. Here's Eric. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
Colin, welcome back.
Hello.
I figure we can just go, you know, around the horn here and then pick a movie that you guys are interested in, talk about it a little bit, bat it around, so we'll take it from there. Eric, why don't you start off? What's one of the titles that you're looking forward to?
We're going to the end of the year, basically,
yeah.
Or
yeah.
Fall, just all the way to the end of the year.
Yeah.
The film that, I mean, with the exception of the big film that's opening in December, the other really big film that I'm so looking forward to in December is Steven Spielberg's new film called The Post, which is about the release of the Pentagon Papers. It hits all the sweet spots and things that I'm very interested in. One, Spielberg movies. Two, Tom Hanks movies. Three, movies about journalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loaded cast. It seems like Spielberg's kind of going for his All the President's Men with this one. And, you know, with the recent spate of how journalism is kind of progressing in this country now again, it seems like it's going to be more timely than ever. And again, it's just the cast list in this movie is just pretty insane, and I'm just giddy with anticipation for it.
Wasn't this called The Papers?
It was called it was called The Post, I think, when they initially announced it, and then it was called The Papers, and now it's been officially called The Post.
Okay, do they not want to confuse it with the Ron Howard movie, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a smart move.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about this cast list. Allison Brie, Tom Hanks, Sarah Paulson, Meryl Streep, Carrie Coon, Jesse Plemons, Bradley Whitford, Michael Stuhlbarg, David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, Bob and Dave are in it?
That's great, isn't it?
A little Mr. Show reunion. And it
Pat
just
Healy's in it.
And Tracy Letts is in it. It's just like you said, it's loaded. And
yeah.
It's called The Post. And it'll sneak in at the end of the year to get Oscar buzz, correct? And then because I'm looking at the IMDb page and it says that it's going to open wide on January 12th, but it'll open in December for the Oscar consideration.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's The Post, Spielberg's latest. All right, Colin, what about you?
So this is going to be the Wonderfall, I think, because we got three major movies that have the word wonder in the title. I think the one I'm looking forward to the most is called Wonderstruck. By Todd Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Julianne Moore in it again. Of course, this is like their third movie together. And it's based on a book by, Brian Selznick, who wrote Hugo. And this guy's books are fascinating because they're partly picture books and then it's partly narrative, but the pictures take up a big chunk of the book and are done in these really beautifully rendered pencil drawings. The books are really thick because a lot of the storytelling in it is visual, and you just got to kind of flip through the pictures to see what it's about. And I'm intrigued because Todd Haynes is known for doing more kind of adult-themed material, and this is him kind of dipping his foot into the pool of fantasy. More like family-friendly material. It tells two stories that take place about 50 years apart, and these two stories converge at a museum. And it's kind of hard to describe, but I'm really curious to see how he handles this. And from what I've been reading so far, it's so intriguing. He's got Carter Burwell doing the score. He hired one of the main characters is a deaf girl, and he hired an actual deaf girl to play her. Named Millicent Simmons, and she's a newcomer, and by all accounts she's giving an amazing performance, and who knows, maybe we'll see another Marlee Matlin nominated this year, who knows. That's one that I'm definitely looking forward to.
Okay, that's Wonderstruck. That opens in October. Todd Haynes' latest. It is interesting that he's going sort of in that family direction, because none of his movies are appropriate for families.
Right.
So, all right. The first one that I'm going to mention is, I cannot wait to see Mother. This is the latest from Darren Aronofsky. And it has Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, and the great Michelle Pfeiffer. And, have you guys seen the latest poster?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. I mean, he's acknowledging the movie that probably most, it was influenced by for this. And that it was a great takeoff on the Rosemary's Baby poster. And so it's essentially two strangers end up coming into the lives of Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence, who live in this house that has been refurbished, and these two strange individuals come in, and from what all manner of insanity ensues. Darren Aronofsky has made a lot of movies, and the two movies that they when they do the from the director of thing, it seems to me that I think we're going to understand the tone of this movie, because it was from the director of Requiem for a Dream and Black Swan. Those are the two that they chose to put into the trailer and to kind of get you ready for what is going to happen. And it looks like a completely crazy movie.
He said it's the closest thing he's done to Black Swan in spirit than anything he's done in a while.
Yeah.
So he's already made that promise.
Yeah. Well, which is fine with me, because I love Black Swan. A really creepy, really scary, really awesome movie. Natalie Portman got an Oscar for that, and maybe, Jennifer Lawrence will get nominated for this one. But it does seem like Rosemary's Baby, in the same sort of way that that great film with Elizabeth Moss, Queen of Earth, it has that kind of a weird feel to it. But this one, I think, is going to be more surrealistic and crazy, because it's Darren Aronofsky and the trailer is completely insane. And I'm always thrilled. I don't know about you guys. I'm always thrilled to see Michelle Pfeiffer in a movie. That just makes me happy. And, and Ed Harris rules.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good. That's the first one that popped into my head. And that's coming out in a couple of weeks. So we can look forward to that. That's Mother. All right. Eric, where do you want to go next?
I want to go into November. This is one of the films I'll be seeing at the Toronto Film Festival. It's a film called Molly's Game. This is the directorial debut of Aaron Sorkin, who also adapted the book that's based on. It's based on a true story of a woman, played by Jessica Chastain, who was an Olympic skier, who was then later arrested by the FBI for running a sort of an underground high-stakes poker game that was presided over by a lot of famous people and stuff. And the movie purports to be, and again, I haven't watched the trailer for it yet, but apparently there's sort of a lot more than meets the eye about what this woman was involved in. The Russian mob is involved in some manner. And I'm just a huge fan of Aaron Sorkin's work, and the prospect of a story like this that hopefully has a lot more going for it, more than just the premise allows. I don't really know anything about this story, so I'm going to be learning as we go. And I just love Sorkin's ear for dialogue in the same way that we all talk about David Mamet. I just love his rhythms, and I'm very curious to see what he does behind the camera with this.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. It looks really good. Yeah, I didn't know. I did not know that this was his directorial debut. I didn't know he was making a directorial debut, but it looks good, and the cast is great. And Idris Elba is, I mean, that guy, he needs to work more. What, I mean, he's in everything.
Oh yeah, no, they're trying to keep him in the spotlight. They really want to make him a star.
Yeah.
That you know they haven't quite done it yet, and you know, Kevin Costner's in it. It's another really good strong cast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over this thing.
All right, that opens November 22nd, but you're going to see it in a couple of weeks in Toronto.
That's right.
Okay, cool. So that's Molly's Game, Aaron Sorkin's directorial debut, Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba, which and among many other people in that cast. All right, cool. All right, Colin, what's next for you?
I was just looking at September, and we were talking a few weeks ago about Mike White and his unfortunate association with the Emoji movie. And he's got a film coming out called Brad's Status with Ben Stiller and Austin Abrams and Jenna Fischer and Michael Sheen and Jermaine Clement and Luke Wilson. I mean, it's a pretty darn good cast he's assembled here. I like Eric, I'm kind of avoiding trailers for stuff coming out this fall, but I always look forward to stuff that Mike White does because he's just one of these really wonderful humanist directors, much like Alexander Payne and Noah Baumbach, that he's of that ilk. So I'm always looking forward to the stuff that he does because, you know, quirky and a little comedic and made for people who appreciate characters who are kind of you know, on the outside looking in, and with you know, Ben Stiller at the center of this. It's about a father who takes his son to tour colleges, and he meets up with an old friend who makes him feel bad about some of his life choices. And that sounds interesting to me. So I'm looking forward to that. It's called Brad's Status.
Yeah.
And it comes out September 15th. So in a couple weeks.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that one too. And you know, like you, I'm a huge Mike White fan. He already wrote a great movie this year, Beatrice at Dinner, which is one of my favorite films I've seen.
Oh yeah.
And I love I love his directing style, and I love the way he writes and everything. And I think it looks pretty great. So, all right, hold on, we gotta take a break, you guys. Okay,
come
back, and we're talking about the fall movie preview for 2017. Not a lot of movies came out this week. In fact, nothing really. So we are going to give you more fall movie previews coming up right here on WGN. Well, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick Giglio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. It is Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a jokey joke, and it is sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Say hi to George when you go there. It's Jefferson Park, classic place, galestreet.com. And the Monday morning movie reviews have been taken up by our fall movie preview. Eric Childress, Colin Suter, and I. Nothing really opened up at the box office this week. We're off next week for Labor Day. I'm off. The new movies will be coming out. The fall movies will really kick off the following week, and we'll talk about them. But right now we're giving you a preview of some of the movies that we're most looking forward to. Here is Eric.
Hello.
And Colin. Hey, Colin.
Hello.
Well, listen, since you mentioned, Colin, you mentioned Noah Baumbach. I would like to talk about his new movie, The Meyerowitz Stories, New and Selected. Interesting approach to how they're releasing this movie. You guys know about this, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's going to Netflix, I thought.
Well,
it?
But it's going to get a theatrical release, too.
Oh, okay.
It's going to debut on Netflix, and then I guess the following day it's going to be in theaters because they want Oscar consideration for it.
Uh-huh.
So it's an interesting, I'll tell you, it's an interesting cast, and I've seen the trailer for it, and it looks pretty interesting, to say the least. And it's got Adam Sandler, Dustin Hoffman, Emma Thompson, Judd Hirsch, Sigourney Weaver is in it as well, and it is about an estranged family that gathers together for an event honoring their father, and Dustin Hoffman plays the father. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ben Stiller makes an appearance in this as well, because why not? The trailer looks pretty interesting, and you know, there really is some buzz about Adam Sandler possibly getting an Oscar nomination for this, or at least consideration. So that's why it's a Netflix movie, but they're releasing it in theaters as well because they want to get that Oscar buzz. Trailer looks good, and I'm a fan of Noah Baumbach, and I know that Eric, you run hot and cold on him, right?
I don't really run that hot.
Oh, okay, all right. And I know Colin, you like him.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Okay, I guess I'm more enthusiastic about this guy than the other two. But I like his stuff, and, you know, so I'm looking forward to it. And that, again, is it'll be October 13th. It'll be debuting on Netflix, but it will also get a theatrical release so that they can get some Oscar buzz on it. And what was the last time there was Oscar buzz for Adam Sandler? Was it the Rain or Me movie?
Oh, God.
There was buzz.
Even though, I mean, that came out in like March that year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how serious the buzz was. There's probably like, oh, it's a dramatic role for Sandler. It must be Oscar worthy. I don't remember how thick the buzz was for that movie because that wasn't exactly a very well received movie.
No. What about Spanglish? Did people?
I think there was some hope just with the Brooks connection for
right.
it.
Right.
I think in a very underrated film.
I do too. I think it's underrated as well.
But, yeah, and he didn't really get it for Punch Drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it's his best performance, easily. But,
yeah,
it's also a very weird movie. So, so there you go. That's coming out. All right, Eric, what about what's next for you?
Well, another film that's going to be playing in Toronto that I think is probably on all of our list, and that's Alexander Payne's Downsizing.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of come out and he said the film is not really for everyone, and I'm kind of curious to see how he takes kind of a sci-fi twist on The Incredible Shrinking Man, basically. All we really know about it. I don't think there's not a trailer for it yet, is there?
I haven't seen one, no.
Okay, I don't think there is. But Matt Damon and Kristen Wiig play a couple, and Matt Damon decides to take part in this procedure that will shrink him down to 4 inches tall, basically, so he can help save the planet in some way or have a better life. That's all we really know about it, but the only thing you really need to know about it is that it was made by Alexander Payne.
Right.
Who has a pretty flawless track record. And, his last film was Nebraska, we haven't had a film since Nebraska.
Yeah.
Which I still think is one of his best.
It's a great movie.
One. I mean, for God's sake, yeah. Alexander Payne, for Pete's sake. So, it's over. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes long. So I'm ecstatically curious about this movie.
Yeah, and, you know, the rest of the cast is pretty amazing, too. In addition to Kristen Wiig and Matt Damon, you got Christoph Waltz, Laura Dern, Jason Sudeikis, Neil Patrick Harris, Margot Martindale, who appears, I think, legally has to appear in all of his movies.
Yeah.
Udo Kerr is in it, for God's sake.
Yeah, so, and Laura Dern.
And Laura Dern, exactly. So he worked well with her dad in his last movie, so maybe it'll...
And worked well with her in his first movie.
In his first movie, that's right. All right, cool. So that comes out in December, but you're seeing it in Toronto.
Yeah.
All right, and that's called Downsizing. All right, cool. All right, Colin, what's next?
I think for me, I'm holding out hope for Pixar to finally give us a great American major, you know, animated film this year. We've had a couple really good animated films from Your Name and My Life is a Zucchini, but I think stateside we've kind of failed a bit to really deliver something great. I mean, I think the Lego Batman movie and Cars 3 I gave a pass to, but I'm really hoping I've got all my hopes set on Coco from Pixar. And it's an intriguing premise. They're not digging out some, they're not just doing another sequel or anything like that. It's about a boy who is transported to the land of the dead, and it takes place over a Mexican holiday, and it just looks very intriguing. I guess it kind of will remind some of us of The Book of Life, which was, I believe, Guillermo del Toro was involved in that film from a couple of years ago. Really wonderful animated film. But this looks just
extraordinary. It's promising because it's co-directed by one of the co-directors of Toy Story 3. And then there's another guy who's making his directorial debut co-directing this thing. So I will not underestimate Pixar, except when it comes to some of their sequels. But this one, I'm really excited about.
Damn.
Just because just some of the stills that I've seen, some of the animation stills that I've seen, it just looks, top notch, as Pixar always does.
Yeah, it looks
great. Wow, I can't wait.
I'm very excited about this one too, and I got a good feeling about it too. And the trailer is great. The trailer is really great. It just looks beautiful. And that comes out November 22nd. That's Coco from Pixar. And Pixar can use another great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really have high hopes for this one as well. I'm looking forward to it as well. All right, guys, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric Childress, Colin Suter are here, and we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up here, and then more fall movie preview 2017 right after we take a break for the news. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It is Monday morning. Monday morning movie reviews. Well, we're not doing them this week because really nothing came out, so we're giving you a fall movie preview, previewing movies that are coming out until the end of the year. And if you would like to join us, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Also, my dad will be calling in to tell the joke. We're going to talk about legendary restaurants that changed things and food talk as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we're back. Eric Childress, Colin Suter, and I are giving you a preview of some of the fall movies. And here's Eric. Welcome back.
Hello.
And Colin, welcome back.
Hello.
All right. So the next one that I want to mention, well, you mentioned Guillermo del Toro, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to mention The Shape of Water, which looks like a very interesting movie. It's another fairy tale, and it's set during the Cold War, like in 1963. It's about a high security government lab where a woman played by Sally Hawkins works. And there is a creature of some sort, like a gill creature of some sort, there's an experiment that's happening, and she ends up bonding with this creature and having a relationship with it. Octavia Spencer is also in it. Michael Stuhlbarg is in it. And oddly, Michael Shannon plays a bad guy. I don't know how that happened. But I'm always intrigued by this guy, Guillermo del Toro. I mean, at least, on the simplest of levels, visually, this guy is an astonishing artist. He's made some movies that are better than others, but overall, I'm a big fan of his stuff. And this just has his style written all over it. And so I'm really looking forward to it. The Shape of Water. Have you guys seen the trailers for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it looks great. And Michael Shannon's the bad guy, just in case you didn't know. So.
You're so quick to judge, Nick. I mean, maybe he's a decent person in the movie.
Maybe, but not judging by the trailer, and judging by the fact that it is Michael Shannon, as another,
right.
another thing right there. So obviously, I'm really looking forward to that one. His last movie was Crimson Peak, which is a movie that I liked. The other thing about it was just breathtakingly gorgeous. And that's, like I said, I mean, his movies are just wonderful to look at. So on that simplest of levels, it's going to be a visual treat, at least that much. So, all right. Eric, what do you got next?
Okay. We're kind of looking. There's a number of films coming out towards the end of the year, one even in a couple weeks, that are kind of remakes. We have Stephen King coming out in a couple of weeks. We got the Battle of the Sexes movie, which people might seem to have forgotten. There was a Holly Hunter, Ron Silver movie about Bobby Riggs, Stephen King.
I remember that, and I loved it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's a Battle of the Sexes is one. But the one I'm actually very intrigued about and looking forward to, I'm just a huge sucker for mysteries. And I happen to really like Murder on the Orient Express. Kenneth Branagh, who is a director who I've liked for a long time. To see him maybe do something completely, hopefully maybe a little over the top with Hercule Poirot and the story that, a mystery obviously that we all know the conclusion to, or at least most of us do.
Yeah.
But again, with a cast that he's assembled, himself as Poirot, you got Johnny Depp and Willem Dafoe and Daisy Ridley and Michelle Pfeiffer, a slew of suspects on board, and I've always liked Agatha Christie stories. This is certainly one of her, maybe her most famous one, other than Ten Little Indians. And so I'm just curious to see what he does with this. I wasn't crazy about what he did with Sleuth.
Yeah.
When he remade that a few years back, but this one might be a little bit more straightforward. And I'm hoping that is just kind of fun.
Well, the trailer seems like it's going to be he's going to have a good time with it. It just mm-hmm. The original film I'm a fan of. I like it. My favorite of the Agatha Christie movies is Death on the Nile. That's my favorite. That's my favorite of all of them. But Murder on the Orient Express is good. And Kenneth Branagh is capable of doing really cool mysteries. I mean, the guy did Dead Again.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite of his, actually.
It's a really terrific movie. So hopefully this will be good. It looks like it's going to be fun. But again, as you said, Eric, I know how this one turns out.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting to watch and see how people feel about it, considering, I think most people, if you're not familiar with the material, then that's cool.
Yeah,
but we all kind of know how it ends. So, but it'll be interesting. That opens November 10th, an all-star cast.
Yeah,
Murder on the Orient Express. Okay, Colin, what do you got next?
Well, this one might seem like typical awards bait, but I'm always rooting for people who take a chance and make a musical, because it's always such a risk. And there's a movie coming out called The Greatest Showman on Christmas Day. And it is an original musical, much like La La Land last year. In fact, all the songs were written by the same two guys who wrote the songs for La La Land. So that gives me confidence right there. It's from a first-time director named Michael Gracey. So we're coming in cold on this one. So to jump right in with your debut and have it be a big musical, that's pretty risky there too. It stars Hugh Jackman as P.T. Barnum. So it's based on the life of P.T. Barnum and how he creates the greatest show on earth. And to make that a musical almost kind of sounds like a no-brainer when you say it out loud like that. And I've seen the trailer and it looks, visually like this guy knows how to make a musical. It's big and, looks pretty great. It looks like the kind of movie you'd want to make for P.T. Barnum. It looks like it's got some good showmanship there. So, very intrigued, and I'm always rooting for a musical to be good. I'm always going into a musical with high hopes, and they're often dashed. But but maybe this one won't be. So The Greatest Showman comes out December 25th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too. I just think it looks great, and I love Hugh Jackman. I just love the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do.
Oh, yeah.
He can do.
I mean, who else are you going to get to play P.T. Barnum in a musical?
Right.
I mean, of course.
Right. So.
And Michelle Williams is in it too, so that's also a confidence booster.
Absolutely.
And Zac Efron.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got high hopes for it. I hope it's I hope it turns out good. So there you go. And listen, my favorite movie last year was La La Land. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. I'm intrigued by this next movie called American Assassin. Not familiar with the director, really, but it features Dylan O'Brien as a guy whose girlfriend is killed during a terrorist attack and decides that he wants to become an assassin and go after the terrorist cells that were responsible for the death of his girlfriend. And in order to be trained... he is taken to one of the greatest assassins and agents ever, played by the great Michael Keaton. And he trains under Michael Keaton, and they go into this dangerous world to try and kill these terrorists. Now, I don't know the book. Have either of you guys read the book?
No.
Okay. And have you seen? Have you guys ever seen? Have you seen the trailer for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I'm not. Like I said, I'm not really familiar with the director, but I'll see anything with Michael Keaton in it, and he looks terrific in this movie, and I love this second half of Michael Keaton's career, this thing that's happening to him, because of for years, and we're all on the same team when it comes to Michael Keaton. We've been rooting for this guy forever, and I love what has happened to him from Birdman on. And he just had a great time in the Spider-Man movie this past summer. He was terrific in that, and it was fun to watch him do that. And he's been in, two Oscar-winning Best Pictures in a row, and he's been giving great performances and picking really interesting roles. And I'm a real big fan of his, and he looks like a badass in this movie, like a total badass. And I'm all for that. So that's American Assassin, that'll be coming out soon.
Yeah, the director of the film, his name is Michael Cuesta. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he's done only a couple theatrical titles. He made a debut called L.I.E. with Brian Cox several years ago.
That was him?
Yeah, it was him, yeah.
Oh, all right, because that's a good movie.
His last movie he did was Kill the Messenger with Jeremy Renner.
Oh, right.
Story. But he's mostly done a lot of TV. He's done a lot of Dexter and Homeland and stuff like that. So.
Okay. All right. I liked L.I.E. I thought that was a really terrific movie.
Yeah.
God, that was a long time ago.
2001.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys, hang on, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the fall movie preview of 2017 right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Yeah, it's Monday morning. Monday morning movie reviews. We're actually doing a fall movie preview for you, talking about the movies that are coming up the next several weeks and months till the end of the year. And Colin and Eric are here, and we're doing that. And my dad will be calling in to tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey time. Brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. So let's get back to it. Here's Eric. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Colin, welcome back.
Hello.
Okay. Eric, you're up, right?
Yeah.
All right. What do you got next?
Well, there are two comic book movies opening in November, and I'm only interested in one of them, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I mean, the comic book movies, while, there are a lot of them I like, we just mentioned Spider-Man or whatnot, and that was certainly a fun movie, I think we all thought. And I'm happy if, the comic book movies take this turn, that they just kind of get fun for a little while, even just for a moment. And getting Taika Waititi aboard to do this movie, the trailer just gives me all kinds of joy. It just looks like it is going to be a romp. It looks like it's going to be goofy as hell. Everyone in the cast looks like they're going to have a blast making this movie. The Thor movies haven't exactly been spectacular. I like the Kenneth Branagh movie. I think the sequel is one of the worst of the Marvel lineage. But this one I hope it turns out to be the best of the bunch, because it Taika Waititi, Hunt for the Wilder People, people haven't seen that yet, and if people still haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows, get yourself versed before you go in to see this movie, because I think having a little bit of knowledge of the type of humor that this guy has been utilizing over his last couple of movies will really just increase the enjoyment for this movie.
Yeah, I think it looks great, man. And like you said, I mean, the trailers that I've seen have been completely over the top, and it looks really funny and it looks crazy. And Cate Blanchett looks insane.
Yeah.
In it. And I think it's going to be great. I really do. I think it's going to be. I mean, I laughed out loud the first time I saw the trailer. All the Hulk stuff in the trailer is just enough to crack me up.
Yep.
And they also used, it's about time that they used the Immigrant Song, for God's sake. It only took three movies for them to use the Immigrant Song by Zeppelin. But, yeah, that's going to be a great one. That comes out in November as well. And the other comic book movie that you speak of is Justice League, which I'm only intrigued because of the behind the scenes stuff that's going on.
Right.
To see what how it turns out. So, I mean, it could be a disaster, or it could be, you know, Joss Whedon riding in on a horse and saving the day. So anyway, all right. Colin, what do you got?
I'm always looking forward to, and I know you are too, I'm looking forward to anything by Richard Linklater.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely looking forward to Last Flag Flying, which comes out in November, November 3rd. Stars Steve Carell and Bryan Cranston and Lawrence Fishburne. They are three guys who served together in Vietnam, and one of their sons has died in Iraq, and they sort of reunite over that and try to figure out or try to get the body to be buried somewhere besides Arlington. So it's kind of a road movie as well, where they take the body or they take the coffin, and transport it themselves. And, so it looks like, I mean, from the trailer, I mean, it sounds like a lot of, you know, when you describe the story, it sounds pretty heavy, and I'm sure it's, you know, incredibly dramatic and everything, but it also looks like it's laced with some humor too. So, with these three actors, I think it's really interesting casting. I'd like to see Bryan Cranston in something great for a change. I know they trying to get a great career going for him, post Breaking Bad, but, Trumbo just doesn't cut it. Even if he did get nominated. But this looks like, something that I think, you know, has, that'll be really interesting to see how it plays in award season. Since they're releasing it in November, it looks like they got some confidence in it. And, you know, we root for Linklater to be in that, you know, to be among those, to be nominated for something pretty great.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this, Last Flag Flying.
It's also a sequel, Colin. It's a sequel to the last Detail. Cranston is playing Nicholson's part. Steve Carell is playing Randy Quaid's part, and Lawrence Fishburne is playing Otis Young's part. And it's written by the guy.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, it's co-written by the guy who wrote the original screenplay for Last Detail. So it's those three characters from the Last Detail years later.
Now that I'm looking at it, so it's the spiritual sequel to The Last Detail.
Yeah.
He likes to put that in there. So.
Yeah, but I think it looks phenomenal, and Linklater is, you know, I mean, he's the man. So I think it looks really, really great. So I'm looking forward to that one too. Okay, let's see. I'll go next with Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. This is the latest from Martin McDonagh, who did Seven Psychopaths and The Great In Bruges. And if people haven't seen In Bruges, for God's sake, do it. I mean, what do you... so this is the latest. Frances McDormand plays a woman whose daughter was murdered, and she is not satisfied with... the police's handling of it in this town in Missouri, and the sheriff is played by Woody Harrelson, and Sam Rockwell is in the movie as well, and another a great cast, and as a form of protest, she buys three billboards questioning the police work. And it becomes national news, and she's a feisty woman from the looks of the trailer. And I just think I mean, this is one of those movies where I think you can pretty much bet that Frances McDormand is going to get herself an Oscar nomination for this because it's got that written all over it. You guys have seen the trailer for it, right?
Oh yeah.
It looks so good. And I've not seen, I don't even know if there's a regular trailer because everyone that I've seen has been red band. So I don't know, you know, if they have like a regular non red band trailer, but, you know, anything this, Martin McDonagh is a tremendous writer and a great director. And he, again, assembles an amazing cast here. John Hawkes is in the movie as well. The creepy Caleb Landry Jones is in the movie. Is in the movie. I'm assuming he plays a creepy guy.
He's also one of the drug guys in that Heaven Knows What movie.
Is that right? He's in that too.
Yeah,
not typecast at all. You know, Woody Harrelson is just, I think, just he's just great. And I think he's had a pretty great year as well. And I'm just looking forward to it big time. Martin McDonagh. Anything with this guy's name on it, I will watch. And Frances McDormand, again, a national treasure. And it looks like she's just going to have a blast playing this role. So, and the trailer is like laugh out loud funny. There's like really hilarious. And anybody who's familiar with McDonagh's stuff, it's dark, it's twisted, it's also very funny. And again, if you have not seen In Bruges, rectify that, because that movie rules. You're an inanimate object. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, guys, hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to Eric and Colin are going to hang on. We'll do one more segment here previewing the fall movies. And we got more coming up right here on after the news on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey time. And it's also Monday morning movie reviews, which we have turned into the fall movie preview for 2017. Eric Childress, Colin Suter with us to discuss and preview some more new movies. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Colin, welcome back.
Hello.
All right. Eric, go ahead. You got another one here.
Star Wars. Next.
Oh, there's a Star Wars movie coming out? I wasn't even aware of that. There was a Star Wars movie coming out.
Yeah, it's called The Last Jedi.
It looks, now, is this what they're trying to do? Are they trying to sort of like mirror this to be this is the empire of this set?
I think that's what everyone is, one, hoping for,
yeah.
I think. Ryan Johnson probably has a certainly different sensibility than J.J. Abrams does, so
yeah.
I think that's a little bit intentional, too. And it seems like, you know, with the number of revelations that might be come about or be at least be hinted at further in this movie, and there also is kind of a, you know, from what we can gather from the trailer, that it looks like there's, you know, Rey and Luke are basically Luke and Yoda now,
right?
You know, so that there might be a significant portion of the movie that is dedicated to her training and, you know, how she's going to fit into the overall legacy of, you know, these characters. And, you know, and we're, you know, we're also going to get to see Carrie Fisher,
yeah,
again,
yeah,
you know, as Leia, and you know, probably, you know, possibly for the last time. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many reasons to look forward to this thing. You know, clearly, as a lifelong Star Wars fan, I am just giddy with anticipation. Not the least of which is that it's a new Rian Johnson movie too,
right,
who I'm a huge fan of.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, please.
Well, you know, they've been, you know, this rebirth of Star Wars so far has turned out to be really good as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan in the world, as you guys know. But I liked Force Awakens very, 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 very much. And I really, really like Rogue One, which is, I mean, a Star Wars story, technically. But, you know, I've watched that on cable a bunch of times now, and I like it more every single time I watch it. And, man, the last 10 minutes of that movie, of Rogue One, come on, man. So, hey, by the way, have you ever seen the footage of the girl watching Rogue One for the first time? There's a they
of Daisy Ridley or
no, of watching Rogue One. It's a girl in a house, and her boyfriend is taping her. I guess she had been away.
Yes, I have seen that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. She starts crying at the end.
At the end of the big reveal at the end of the movie.
It is
great.
It's wonderful, man. Colin, if you get a chance, look it up.
Yeah.
It's a guy filming his girlfriend. I guess she was away. She was a missionary or something. So she was away when the movie came out. She came back, and they made a big deal out of it. She watched it, and it's just him filming her during the last 5 minutes of the movie. And it's just it's her reaction is priceless.
Yeah.
Priceless. So, all right, Colin, what do you got?
All right, well, at the risk of getting zero reaction from Nick or just utter disdain, I'm looking forward to the new Woody Allen movie, Wonder Wheel.
Hmm.
Because it could very well suck. I'm aware of that because, you know, latter-day Woody Allen. But I think the release date of December 1st, I think there's some confidence here. And it's got Kate Winslet. And I guess they've been wanting to work together for a long time, but she had to bow out of Match Point. So they're finally working together. And it's also got Justin Timberlake.
And it's takes place in Coney Island in the 50s. And I think it looks more like it's going to be more of a drama. We might have another Blue Jasmine on our hands, hopefully. That would be nice. And there's no trailer out there yet. There's just some stills and a few articles written. But I'm intrigued because they didn't just dump it in the summer like they've done with his movies for the last, I think, 10 years. They're actually releasing it during awards season. So that makes me hopeful as a Woody Allen fan. And it's been a year almost now since I did my Woody Allen project where I watched all of his movies over the course of a whole year. So I've had a nice, safe enough distance from having to watch another Woody Allen movie, which I didn't want to do for a while. So enough time has passed. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. All right. And that's Wonder Wheel, which comes out at the beginning of December.
Nick, if I may add something to that, I know you're clearly not looking forward to a new Woody Allen movie, but something that also might blow your mind about this movie is that there's actually legitimate Oscar buzz for one of the actors in the movie, and his name is Jim Belushi.
I've heard about that, yes. I've heard about that. Well, I mean, listen, as far as I'm concerned, Dice should have been nominated for Blue Jasmine. So,
absolutely.
So that's fine.
Things have happened.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. And I've been really, I got to say, I've been enjoying Jim Belushi on Twin Peaks.
He's been great, man.
He's been terrific on Twin Peaks.
He's been great.
Him and Robert Nepper together, they're like a comedy dynamo.
Yeah.
So just them dancing around the office. Did you watch Twin Peaks last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's it was one of the more entertaining episodes of the season, I thought.
Well, all right.
I don't know what your definition of entertainment
is.
Yeah,
I got to say, last week's episode made me cry with the log lady.
That was very sweet.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'm going to pick this movie that I'm surprised that Colin didn't jump on. It's called Stronger, from David Gordon Green.
Oh, yes.
And it's about the Boston bombing and about a guy who loses his legs during the bombing and tries to come back from that. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays the lead character. Tatiana Maslany is in this. She's only playing one role, not 30. Clancy Brown, for God's sake, is in it. And there's a bunch of like really terrific character actors in it. And this is the trailer for it is really terrific. And it's the kind of movie that I would hope that David Gordon Green would go back and really pull out all the stops. And again, the release of this movie, the date that they're releasing this movie is another. It comes out September 22nd, and I really think that they're going to push for Jake Gyllenhaal to get a nomination. For this one, but I'm always intrigued, as you are, Colin, obviously, by anything that David Gordon Green does.
I've been a little cautiously optimistic about his movies as of late.
Yeah,
because that Our Brand is Crisis was a letdown.
It was.
And still feeling the burn from those two comedies, man. Your Highness and The Sitter. So,
yeah.
So I didn't purposely not choose it. I just kind of forgot as I was going through my list of stuff here. But you didn't mention there's apparently an untitled Paul Thomas Anderson film coming out this year.
Yeah, there is. And obviously that's, the movie that I'm most looking forward to. And it's coming out at the end of the year in December. It doesn't have a title yet. And it's Daniel Day-Lewis. If you were to believe him, it's his last movie. But Daniel Day-Lewis has retired a couple of times, hasn't he?
I don't believe anybody when they retire anymore.
Yeah. I think Daniel Day-Lewis like retired. I think he made that movie with his wife. Oh, man. I can't remember the name of it that his wife wrote.
Ballad of Jack and Rose?
Yeah. And he said that was going to be his last movie. And that wasn't the case. So,
yeah.
But anyway, he plays a fashion designer. It's a period piece, takes place in the 50s in London, and a predominantly British cast. Written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. And anytime that guy's name is on the credits of anything, I am happy and intrigued. So, yes, that goes without saying. So, there you go. Now, next week, guys, we are not on. I am taking Labor Day off. So, the following week, we've got It, which looks so scary. Looks really good. Did you guys like the TV version of it, the TV movie version of it?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I never read the book, so I'm only going from the TV version, but right. I like that.
Well, I read the book, and the book's terrific, and it's really creepy and scary. And, you know, this whole, like, kids on bikes in the 80s kind of a thing, that's a thing now, man. So,
yeah.
So Stranger Things 2, by the way, starts in October. Looking forward to that. And, it was Eric, it was a pretty disastrous weekend at the box office, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it helps when you, or it hurts when you don't open anything of note.
You're right.
You know,
so the Ryan Reynolds Samuel Jackson movie is the one that it was number one again at the box office, correct?
Yeah, with $10 million, so not a lot of money going around. I mean, Wind River jumped up to fourth place for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, this is just really Hitman's Bodyguard made $10 million, Annabelle Creation $7.3 million, Leap debuted with $5 million, and then you called that, Eric.
Yeah.
You said it was going to make, it won't even make, you said it'll make maybe about $5 million.
Yeah.
Wind River, $4.4 million. Logan Lucky, $4.3 million. $15 million in 2 weeks for that movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the movie's not going to gross as much as Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Jeez. And then Birth of the Dragon was another debut at $2.5 million. So it was the worst week of the worst weekend of the year? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, worst weekend of the year. I think I have to look at the research a little bit. They're saying worst weekend in some time.
Yeah.
And it's the worst summer since like 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
Overall.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. You guys have a great Labor Day.
Thank you.
Colin, welcome back to school, buddy. Have a good season.
Thank you.
Okay. And there you go. And Eric, thanks, man. We'll talk to you again after Labor Day.
Sounds good.
Okay, there you go. Eric Childress, Colin Suter. We just previewed a bunch of movies for you for the fall of 2017, and hopefully we're going to see some great movies coming up in the next few months.